Shalom, Chaverim. Baruch haba lachol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kihilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Down the ages, and among all nations, whether savage or civilized, man has sought and initiated processes whereby he hoped to penetrate into realms supernatural. Many and varied have been the men and methods employed, from the grotesque to the gruesome, the respectable to the ridiculous, the weird to the wearisome. Signs, omens, trances, rods, oracles, clouds in the sky, examining the livers of sacrifices, consulting wooden images or teraphim, these and more were among the impedimenta associated with the army of wizards, soothsayers, diviners, magicians, astrologers, charlatans, and necromancers that have sapped and supplied the superstitious down the centuries. It is not too widely realized that our Jewish holy scriptures have much to say in exposure, denunciation, and warning relative to these practices, and a biblical collation on the subject proves to be simply packed with interest. For instance, as a prominent and official body at the courts of both ancient Egypt and Babylon, we read of Chatumim, or magicians, revealers of occult things by secret or supernatural means. Then there were the sorcerers, who resorted to magic formulas and incantations, the consulters with familiar spirits, spiritism, and those who resorted to divination by the use of serpents, those who sought guidance by the incidents, flight, or fall of arrows, were known as bellomants. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar used divination by arrows, bellomancy, to decide whether he should advance against Rabbah or Jerusalem. By such devious, dubious, and oft-times dangerous means has unenlightened man sought to guide his steps and decisions through a power unseen by him, but judged as possessing superior and supernatural wisdom. With God's much blessed people Israel, however, such practices were not only prohibited, to view the matter negatively, but on the positive side, the omniscient God of the universe had himself initiated processes and instrumentalities whereby his divine, unerring, authoritative guidance was constantly available to his people. This was so not only in the persons of his prophets, his priests, and his messengers, particularly his messenger supreme, the messianic being known as Malach Adonai, but also in the paraphernalia entrusted to those to whom the people were to look for the expression of God's guidance. Perhaps the most fascinating method granted by God for the direction of his people was by means of the Urim and Tumim. Oddly enough, there is not a word in Scripture to describe the Urim and Tumim. We first encounter the biblical reference at Exodus chapter 28, verse 30, where we read in connection with the garments and accoutrements of Israel's high priest, and here I quote, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Eternal continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of the judgment the Urim and the Tumim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Eternal. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Eternal continually." Here we learn that the Urim and Tumim were borne by Israel's high priest into the holy place, into the divine presence. From passages in Ezra and Nehemiah, it is clear that a priest with Urim and Tumim was an essential for the solution of vital matters requiring revelation from God through the priesthood. Those of us who detect a numerical pattern in Scripture will be interested to discover that this mysterious instrument of divine guidance is mentioned just 7 times in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. 4 times the customary sequence of Urim and Tumim is employed. Once only the order is reversed, Tumim and Urim, and twice only the Urim are mentioned. Let me quote this last named reference for the light it throws upon this interesting subject. "And when Saul inquired of the Eternal answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Moses Maimonides speaks of every high priest, and here, by the way, I am quoting him, that inquired by the Urim and Tumim, and who spoke by the Holy Spirit. That is the end of the quotation. The actual words Urim and Tumim mean lights and perfectors, and the Mishnah declares that they were not inquired of for a common person, but only for the king, for the court, or for one whom the congregation had need. Some suggest that the Urim and Tumim were 2 discs within a bag, and that the answer to a question depended upon which one would be drawn by the priest. Rashi suggests that the inevitable and ineffable name of God was inscribed upon some unknown material and then placed in the fold of the high priest's breastplate. By means of it, the divine will was revealed in terms as clear as light, and its promises were made perfect in fulfillment. Perhaps the most interesting theory is the following. Upon the breastplate of the high priest were 12 various precious stones, and upon each of those stones was engraved the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, to write in Hebrew the names of the 12 tribes of Israel would absorb all but 4 of the 22 characters of the Hebrew alphabet. Jewish tradition has it that the missing 4 characters were either the Urim and Tumim, or else found in the Urim and Tumim. Whenever the high priest sought or was the recipient of the will or guidance of God, the divine power flashed out the message through the Hebrew characters on the 12 stones in the breastplate. But of course, without the remaining 4 characters, Chet, Tet, Tzadi, Kof, associated with the Urim and Tumim, there could be no perfect light or unerring response from heaven. I have mentioned this boon of divine guidance, so graciously bestowed upon Israel nationally, because of some possible bearing upon the book of Joshua, which we are currently studying. In my last message, you will recall, the sin of Achan was detected by a somewhat singular method, which, however, is not explicitly described in the biblical record. Hence, a midrash suggests that the Urim and Tumim were employed in Achan's exposure. In my next message, to which I trust you will be listening, we will find a possible reference to these lights and perfectors, the non-employment of which brought about far-reaching and adverse consequences upon Joshua and the children of Israel. In fulfillment of the amazing prophecies of Hosea chapter 3, Israel nationally has been without Urim and Tumim for long ages. The Mishnah declares that when the first prophets died, a term which excludes Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the later prophets, when the first prophets died, Urim and Tumim ceased. Are we to conclude, therefore, that Israel has been without national divine guidance, as in those ages and circumstances associated with the high priest? In a sense, yes. And national failure to achieve the measure and mission divinely required of him was the prime reason for this great loss. However, in another sense, Israel still has an infallible source of divine enlightenment available to him. I refer to the God-inspired holy oracles or scriptures of both the Old and the New Testaments, which surely are a light to lighten the path and perfect for the restoration of the soul. Our prophet Isaiah exclaims, "And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." That is the end of that quotation. Above all lights is the light of Messiah, whose perfect atonement for sin will bring all Israel once again into the divine presence. And perhaps that time is not so far away. Berecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.